due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
Shut the fuck up, fat man. This ain't none of your goddamn business.
Happy birthday to you.
Welcome to Big Foamy Head, the 3-year anniversary show.
Yay. And in honor.
Golf clap.
In honor of our birthday, such as it is, we're doing the show entirely naked. We're Rick sitting in his room, drinking beer, stark naked.
Watching women's volleyball.
Watching what could possibly go wrong.
Swing.
Carol comes downstairs, Rick's splayed out on the couch.
Watching women's volleyball.
A beer in one hand and a remote in the other.
Yeah. Hopefully it's a remote.
Or something. Watching a 6'3" chickie, right?
Kerry Walsh, yeah. And okay. Misty May Trainer.
I thought you were like saying off like porn star names or something. When you were like reeling off these names, it's like, who are you talking about?
ABP beach volleyball. They're going to Beijing.
Really? Oh, yeah, for the Olympics.
Yeah.
Get out.
Cool.
Well, Olympics.
They had like 84 undefeated matches in a row. They're just kicking ass.
Those two?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so one 6'3", and the other's close?
Close. Not quite as tall.
That's great. I love that. I appreciate tall. And short.
And they wear next to nothing on the court. But I appreciate that.
That's because it's hot out there.
Can I get the job of the towel boy?
But you know what? You know what Misty May and Carrie need after
what?
The rousing, hot, sweaty game of beach volleyball? They need Clark Wisen.
Boy, that'd be a great sponsor. You think he's got enough money?
I think we need to let our best friend of the show, Phil, know that there's an opening on the beach volleyball circuit for Clark Wisen, the official beverage of near naked women volleyball.
It tastes great and it's less filling.
That's right.
And he's near tall enough he could probably towel her all the way down.
That's right.
I'd have to get on the stepladder.
Yeah. Well, so we started off, Mike and I are enjoying other people's beer, which is always the best kind, from Clark Wisen, from Clarkhead Brewery, from our friend Phil. And this is a Hefeweizen, and he did something interesting with this. He's got it in a one of these PET bottles, or, you know, a soda bottle, right? Mm-hmm. And I brought it back from California. I stuck it in a refrigerator. And I noticed, you know, Hefeweizen, and you're going to get some sediment, right? Well, you're supposed to, politically correct, roll the bottle to get the yeast agitated, a gentle roll. Well, apparently, yeast doesn't want to let go of the plastic as easily as does glass. Mm-hmm. So I was rolling the hell out of that thing. And then I had to like unscrew it real slowly, let a little test fizz out here and there. But we got it going, and it's pretty good. It's a very cloudy thing now, but now that's intentional for me. I rolled it because I like having the yeast in there, and so far no chunkage. And Rick, what are you? Oh, spoke too soon. Just one plopped out. I win. So Rick, what are you drinking?
I was drinking a homebrewed raspberry wheat that I did a couple of weeks ago, and it's going down pretty smooth. I do want to say, if you go to geocities.com, Clarkhead Brew, you can hit Phil's brewery website, and it says for Clark Wisen, it's brewed with over 60% wheat malt. Bavarian tradition only calls for 50%. But last I looked, he is in California. Clark Wisen has a smooth body and a cloudy golden color. This crisp, refreshing beer is unfiltered for extra flavor. All you hosers say Hefeweizen and then quit talking so much and drink up.
There you go. I think that's a pretty good description.
Yeah.
It's got a very light nose, and it's, man, this is, for outside in the summer, this is going down smooth. It's not over banana-y. It's not over clovey.
Does have a lot of the good spice, though. I mean, yeah. It's just the right amount.
Very nice. Very nice. And so a lot of the beers we're going to drink today are homebrews. And they're homebrews from our homeboys, the fellow podcasters out there. And so just to throw love around, we've spoken for a while about beersafari.com. That's kind of our network where there's all of the podcasters.
Because it's a jungle of beer out there.
It's a jungle of beer out there. And go to beersafari.com, subscribe to it, and hear everybody. But the thing is, we were talking about this, it's easy to sit in a basement, drink beer, and talk at a microphone, and nobody ever listened to you. But after a while, it could conceivably grow old. And so I would say that without the support and of everyone in the beer podcast community, we probably wouldn't have gone 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I know that some of the other shows who, they didn't expect to go more than 5 or 6 shows. And then here they are doing 50, and Jeffrey Tree is up in like 3,000 something. It's like, we're all throwing some big numbers these days. And I have to say, it's got to be because of the support, the networking, and the
love,
appreciation of beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Screw the people.
Yeah.
They're all good folks and great beer, and we all share. And so it's very nice. It's a very nice community, and we all have friends that we never had 3 years mm-hmm. ago. So very good stuff. And we're drinking some very good beer, and we're working our way down.
Hey, and speaking of friends and podcasting land, how about Joe Galea?
Oh, yeah. The countdown continues. I was playing some of him the other day. We had the neighbors over for a 4th of July party. Our friend of the show, Joe Galea, is coming to town in August from Australia. Never been to the U.S., and so we're looking forward to showing him around. And, of course, anybody that listens to the show, if you're in Manfrica, let us know. Love to buy you a beer and show you around. Now, we got some more beers. We got quite a few beers we're going to get through today. And, Rick, I thought this bottle of Clark Weisen was smaller. It's not. We both filled our pint. I'm drinking a pint glass, and Mike's got a Chimay, and we filled it up, drank it down, and poured some more in. So I guess it's about a 24-ounce
bottle. It's pretty tasty.
It's very tasty.
This has been a pretty good weekend for home brewing. I know I brewed yesterday. I did a Denny Kahn's rye. And then, Mike, you brewed today, right?
Sure did. Did a Belgian wit.
Yum.
And I bottled 6 gallons of a purple panty dropper.
Yeah.
Which was 12 pounds or right at 10 pounds of honey, 10 cans of Welch's grapefruit juice.
And that's from a recipe from Johnny Max,
Johnny Max, right.
Another beer podcaster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And brewer.
And brewer. Uh-huh. Very, very. He was a brewer before he was a podcaster.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly, yes.
And I thought his dog taught him everything he knows.
I think so.
Yeah.
But, Johnny Max is Brew Crazy. Is it brewcrazy.com?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So, mm-hmm. and he also runs the Beer Tribe,
mm-hmm.
which is yet another network of beer enthusiasts and so forth and so on, and everybody kind of floats back and forth between them. So, we're about to wind ours up, and Rick, you were talking about the raspberry that you made, and there's another beer that's kind of the Rick Hagerbaumer signature beer that everybody who has it goes, ooh, that's good, and that's the Borp, the Bourbon Oaks Robust Porter.
With smoked malts,
and I think one of surest sign of appreciation of your work is when other people steal it. So
yeah, I guess.
Yeah. So Craig from Brew Bubba's did his own spin on the Borp. And we got one of those standing by that we're going to pull out and start drinking on and see how that stacks up to the original. And I've got another Borp, but I don't know how. I think it was something that's like left in the when you moved, you had all these spare bottles.
Right.
One of them was a Borp that got loose. And I don't know how old it is. I'm going to save it. I'm not going to open it just yet, but we're going to open Craig's and sample it. So, and Mike, what were you? You were doing the pink panty dropper and the three hearted ale was when?
Like 3 weeks ago.
Okay. But you had a little interesting taste note with that.
Yeah, I had some root beer that I had in a keg, homemade root beer, And it had been in the keg for quite a while because we just got kind of tired of it, so it just kind of stayed in there. And then when I decided to brew and put that thing in the keg, I had to clean the root beer out. And it still had a little odor of root beer. I mean, it was clean, but it still just never could get that root beer so tart. I never could get the root beer out of it. And I think it kind of imparted a little root beer hint into that IPA. I think I'm tasting it, don't you?
Well, yeah, when I was trying it, I thought, man, this is great, because I love Bell's Two Hearted Ale. And when I was drinking this, it's like, this is really close to it, but there was a little something. Mm-hmm. Not bad. It was interesting. And until you said that, I'd have never been able to figure it out. So, Rick, what do you think about introducing things like roots into beer?
Oh, I think that one of the themes that's going on right now is that people are going to be getting very creative with their beer styles, and that maybe the hop shortage is actually going to be good for the industry because they're going to be trying all these different things in lieu of just throwing hops together, you know, because everybody's had kind of a boilerplate formula for building beers. You know, now it's time to start experimenting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, reason I ask is I was looking at Zymergy magazine. Not that, you know, of course, I forget the last beer I made. Came out suck.
I don't know. The IPA was pretty good.
Yeah, until it went bad from the infection. But
that didn't put me in the hospital.
It's true of many things. It's all good until the disease kicked in. But I was looking at Zymergy, and they had this recipe for porters from 1750 and from 1850, and both of them required the use of these. One thing was called essential bina or bina, B-I-N-A, mm-hmm. which is basically just burning sugar and turning it into molasses. And the other one was Spanish juice.
Ooh.
Spanish juice is taking licorice root, chopping it up, and boiling it into a tea.
Wow.
And you add the Spanish juice to the beer. That's when you said about the root beer kind of thing. I thought, well, you're actually historically close to accurate with some of the little tastes that people used to add way back when. So
yeah, they used to add a lot of sugar to the beer, and I'm sure it was all very cidery, you know, a strong cider character.
Yeah, one of the things they were saying in there is that the grain bill that they did back then, you couldn't do with beers now. The alcohol would be like through the roof, but it's because of the way the irregular brewing and temperature and water, etc. They weren't really good at extracting all the sugars out like we are today. Mm-hmm. So, but I thought that was pretty interesting that they put licorice root in.
Yeah.
And so with your root beer, maybe, who knows, you know, maybe that was a little deal, because they say if you can smell it, there's particles in there.
Right.
So I think it came out great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's one of the better things you've done.
I think I might try to take a Sierra Nevada and just put just maybe a teaspoon of Barks in there or something. Barks root beer. Just see what it tastes like.
Yeah.
If it tastes similar to what I made.
Speaking of Sparks, maybe
Sparks
you should.
Sparks is what I was drinking yesterday.
Yeah. I was going to say, the reason you're kind of wore out from your beer day is you didn't plan ahead like Rick.
Yeah.
Rick had a 4-pack.
He was drinking
of Sparks.
The high alcohol version, the 7%ers, not the 6.
All right. Are they any good?
You need a rinse with that, or
yeah, I guess I can drink.
Here, dump
that.
Dump okay. That. There you go. We've got to go. Oh, there's Chuck.
Yeah.
Okay. But he was gonna man up and drink these like quarter sized chunks, but they were Clark chunks, so they was good.
Yeah, that's all cat vitamins,
right?
Yeah.
That cat hair.
So, Rick, we're cracking open Craig's Bork.
Oh, it looks good.
Okay, and Craig and I are planning to meet up at the Great Taste of the Midwest in Madison first week of August, and looking forward to seeing him in person. I know he's just recently launched a website, and I'll get some information on that during the break, but it's a way for brewers to kind of promote their local events, and he's trying to make a almost like the MySpace for beer pages.
Yeah, so. And it's going to allow people to post like, here's cool places to go drink beers and things like that. And
we need to promote that a little bit. And I do want to mention that if you want to see Craig Bellinger, then go to James Spencer's Basic Brewing / video website. And he's in the NHC videos for the Pro Night. So if you go watch that, you'll see Craig Bellinger from Brew Bubba's. His partner Jerry isn't with him, but Jerry apparently is working his ass off this summer, so we won't be seeing a lot of Jerry.
It sucks to be Jerry.
Hey, somebody's got to do it.
Somebody's got to be Jerry. So we poured ours, and apparently the glass makes all the difference in the world for the head. I'm using a pint. Mike's still using a Chimay. His head's pretty much dissipated. Mine's still sticking around. I got about a finger and a half worth of head. And it's got a nose. I got a little bit of the bourbon scent and smell and the taste of it.
It's got a great color to it.
Yeah, it's kind of a dark brown, not too dark.
It's not as dark as I had to think of.
It's got a little red. Got a little red to it.
Yeah, it is on the lighter side of the dark, and the head is like just a tiny. It's not a white head, but it's got just a tiny tan to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the taste is very nice, very warming.
Mm-hmm. 8.3%.
Oh wow!
Yeah, really? Okay.
Yeah.
And it's not like over the top bourbon. It's just like in the background there. Very nice. Ooh.
Now, what are you drinking? Are you drinking the same thing we are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a very easy drinker.
It's a very nice. Oh, there it is. Yeah, it says it on the label. 8 point bourbon oak robust porter. Now, is this
one?
And I
don't see a lot of sediment in the bottle, so it looks like he probably force carbonated it in a keg and then bottled. Mm-hmm. Is my guess.
Yeah.
Do you guys see any yeast sediment?
No, not a bit.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, there's a touch. Okay.
Not
so
it is
bottle conditioned. This bottle conditioned.
Okay, I take that back. I see like three little spots. I had to hold it up to light and work for it. No, nothing in the glass. Very nice. So, Craig, great job.
Very good
on this.
Yeah, and the Brew Bubbas, that's a podcast. If you haven't checked it out, please do. They're centric towards Michigan mostly, but boy, they have some great beer in Michigan.
Oh, they do. Mm-hmm. And they've been kind enough to share some of that great beer with us, and hopefully by pimping them out, we'll keep
get
that
more.
Trend up.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
They had a podcast from the Michigan Winterfest, and boy, that was funny because the brewers were having a hard time keeping their kegs from freezing. It was so damn cold.
Oh, wow.
It was just a really interesting listen, and you could tell as everybody was getting a little lubricated, which you tend to do when it's freezing cold. You know, it's a very good podcast. I enjoyed that one a lot.
Well, we were talking. I'm looking at the show notes and something we're supposed to get into this segment. Being organized and all, our new trend after 3 years of that. Can I start writing shit down?
God, why should we change anything?
But we were talking about celebrating and everything, and you observed some celebrations on a recent commercial.
Yeah, it's a new commercial that McDonald's is running, and it's pretty pathetic if you ask me. It has kids playing soccer, and the little chunky goalie sitting there, and of course he gets scored on, and the other team wins the game, and they're jumping around celebrating, holding up their trophy as victors ought to, while the losing team's moping on the other sideline. Okay, that's the American way, right? That's what we're used to. Well,
win and then rub it in your face.
The losing team get Happy Meals, and so they're all happy, and the winning team, who actually won the game and because of their athletic prowess, they're depressed and sad because they don't have McDonald's Happy Meals.
Yeah. So the little chunky bastards are there scarfing down Big Macs and chicken nuggets. And
getting chunkier.
Okay. Now, why?
So here's the message. What's the message? If you're fat and lazy,
you get rewarded.
You can still be happy, or I don't know.
Yeah. If you feel bad about yourself, comfort yourself with food. What could go wrong?
If you're loser and you know it, clap your hands. If you're loser and you know it, clap your hands.
Yeah, and Ronald McDonald's laughing his red shoe wearing ass all the way to the bank.
All the way, buddy.
I mean, it's God, the nerve of those. Of course, I have been a hater of McDonald's commercials. I don't know who the assholes are that write their commercials. They're some of the worst ones.
Yeah.
You know, I'm loving it. You're loving what?
You know, they really don't have to have that good a commercial because they have so many of them. I mean, they're every time you turn around, you're running into a McDonald's commercial.
They do, but you know what
it's
I miss, though?
It's just forced that into your brain.
There isn't any more Ronald McDonald commercials. Mm-hmm. Not really. Yeah. They do this stupid, like, oh, look, white kid's doing Pop and Lock. It's like, come on, shit. I mean, you know, we know the demographic you're trying to appeal to. Nobody's you know, trying to, like, sugarcoat it. But that one is now with fat kids getting sad and here, comfort yourself with food.
Yeah.
That's a new low, even for McDonald's.
Have you seen the one with the black family at the table and the guy, little kid, brings his jukebox in?
Yeah, and he's sitting here like
and
doing,
he's
his
doing all
dance
this
thing and that's dipping it, dipping his stuff.
As that's my here. Kid, I'd have smacked him in the next month.
Yeah, get that damn radio off the table. We're trying to eat dinner here. But really,
speaking of clowns, Bozo died. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, I saw that on the news the other day. Yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
And apparently, you know, he licensed the name Bozo, though, so we may see Bozos coming in the future.
Now, you remember where Bozo is from originally, right?
I have no idea.
He was what's the big station in Chicago?
I don't remember.
That's where Bozo was originally broadcasting out of, right?
I don't remember.
Mike reaches over to the computer to rapidly fact check.
Bozo was officially quite young at that time.
Yeah. What's the big WGN in Chicago, right? Isn't that where Bozo originally came from? I know Oprah. They're often confused.
Well, it sounds here like Los Angeles.
No, that was later. I know he came from like Midwest. Was he not Chicago?
Yeah, man, I don't know. I'm looking on Wikipedia here.
Well, we just fell off script.
Yeah.
That's what happens when we fall off script.
Well, no, actually.
Anyway, I do want to bring it back to McDonald's. They're quite successful. You see almost any cityscape and city street in a foreign country, and guess what's there? It's going to be a McDonald's or a Pizza Hut or
looks like it was
Kentucky Fried Chicken. Those three have gone international in a big way.
Big time. Looks like it was Boston TV first and then Chicago.
Okay, here it is. Wherever, somewhere, Bozo ended up in Chicago. First thing I pull up. Okay. And Rick, this was unbeknownst to you on script. The Bozo the Clown, Chicago. Our first blues guy is from Chicago. And singing the most Chicago blues, Luther Guitar Jr. Johnson. Sweet Home Chicago.
Is he singing the Bozo Blues?
It's not the Bozo Blues, but you know what? Since you brought that up, we have a special Bozo memorial later on. So here's Luther Johnson, Sweet Home Chicago.
Come on, baby, don't you want to go? Don't you wanna go? I'm crying, hey, baby, don't you wanna go back to that loving light city, baby, sweet home Chicago. I love my baby, and I just can't help myself. I wouldn't treat him for no one else. I'm crying, hey. That same old place, sweet home Chicago.
walking, baby, down the avenue. Got something to tell you, girl, that I want you to do. Come on. Baby, don't you wanna go back to that same old place, sweet home Chicago. Here, baby, don't you make me late. I'm crying, hey. Baby, don't you wanna go back to that same old place, sweet home Chicago. Back to that same old place, sweet home Chicago. Back to that same old place, sweet home Chicago.
Sounds a little Luther guitar, Junya
like
Johnson. And we got some more because of the we're going to have our own special Big Foamy Head Bozo eulogy end of show. Be sure to listen. And we've cracked open the James Spencer's Vanilla Porter. Before we get into it, Rick, you located the Craig's project.
Yeah, right. Craig Mellinger from Boo Bubba's has officially announced, launched a couple days ago, at www.craftbeerlocator.com. It's a site for beer enthusiasts and for breweries, and the idea is that you sign up and they'll give you notifications if they have events coming up, and then within 25 miles.
Or wherever, I guess, and reach out further. I can drive more than 25 miles for a good beer.
You can almost run more than that.
Craftbeerlocator.com.
All right, craftbeerlocator.com. So that's one we're going to be pimping out regularly, because this is something that, as user contributed, user driven, it can only grow.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. I'm sitting here on it. You got a drop down menu for your state. Put in your state, put in your zip code, put the number of miles, search radius, hit find beer, and go.
There you go.
Can't beat it.
I know he's spent a lot of time thinking about this, and he's done a lot of research on it, and really hope it takes off for him. So.
Well, we'll be behind it right till the bitter end. Or wild success.
Yeah.
Of which we will take most of the credit.
I'll definitely tell people about it. I used to tell people about the beer fly and what's the other one? The beer mat, all things beer mat.
Yeah, you know. And I use that. I mean, when I go out of town, that's the first thing I do is check out what's around. Yeah. What's
pub crawler.
And that is where I've found some of the best places.
Amen.
Same here. And I got a complaint about AHA Tech Talk. It seems like it's turning into a, hey, I'm going to travel to Chicago. Where can I go get a beer?
Okay.
Now, that doesn't sound like American Homebrewers Association Tech Talk.
And for people out there who just listen and or enjoy a good beer and aren't homebrewers, AHA Tech Talk is a beer list server where anybody can write, more or less, where anybody can write in. I guess it's more of a digest. They take all these questions. Wikipedia. They put in, except it's on email. They put in all these things. Here's the questions that have come in, and other people send in their answers. They're aggregated, sent back out. And lots of stuff, but like Rick was saying, a lot of people were people, I got a problem, my beer did this, how do I do that? And you had the world of homebrewers to help you out. Now it's, okay, I'm going somewhere, where's a good beer? And the answer is, go to Craft Beer Locator now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I did a search on Colleyville, and I don't see your house on here.
Yeah,
because I've seen inside the beer fridge.
That's right.
And that's a great.
That's it.
That's a great place, man.
That's the place to be for craft beer in Collier, Vegas.
Amen.
Which I've now heard it referred to as Collywood.
Oh, really?
So yeah.
Who the hell called it that?
Claire did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay, so you were talking about McDonald's, Rick, earlier.
Well, that's because Lemon Drop Theater's in Collywood.
That's right, and there will be another Lemon Drop Theater coming your way very, very soon.
So
you were talking about McDonald's, and I had an experience just this morning when rather than cooking, we went out to eat. And we went to CK's coffee shop, I guess it's called. What are you looking for?
Something's crawling down my shirt.
Okay. Mike's, I thought he was checking his boobs out or something.
Like, man,
been,
boobs.
You been working out? He's flexing. He's like doing, you know, one's popping and the other one. And is it cold
Mike's
in here?
Mike's had a long brew day.
So I digress.
Hey, Rick, you aren't going to believe this. I was in the middle of cleaning up everything after bottling the purple panty dropper, and my wife calls me and says she has a flat. But good thing was she was just right over on Highway 72, so ran over there and changed the tire in the blazing sun. About broke out into heat stroke, but, you know, got to do what you got to do, right?
Right. You just screwed
that coming, did you?
You screwed our whole segment here.
I know. Okay,
yeah, so
get back on track.
Let's go back to CK's, the greasy spoon of all greasy spoons.
Yeah, it's pretty greasy. I mean, it's like the film on the windows and on the ceilings and stuff. And we were going to go to Perkins, which is somewhat cleaner and larger, et cetera. But, God, everybody, we'd sucked at the timing. Everybody and their brother was there. You know, the after church crowd.
Is that today?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's today.
My average time for going to CK's was like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. is about the only time I'd ever eat at CK's.
When you're really needing your vitamin G because you are low on grease, it's good for that. So it's like and I don't think they exist anywhere else. It used to be Steak and Egg, which I think was a larger chain, but CK's is like a, you know, really bad version of Steak and Egg.
It's like a Waffle House. I love
Waffle House. Yeah. Waffle House is elite compared to CK.
On a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 10, and Waffles, CK's is about a 2.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe a 3.
I love me some Waffle House, but Waffle House is a greasy spoon.
Mm-hmm.
CK's is the greasiest.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm in there, and I'm looking at the women behind the counter. And of course, now, let me preface this where I appreciate anyone who works at one of these hash slinging kind of joints. That's an art unto itself. But
short order cook. Hell yeah.
Short order cook. You never know what's coming. We were getting, you know, getting our breakfast on and our hash browns and et cetera. But the thing I noticed that every single one of them, I thought two things came to mind. I thought one, they have no dental plan.
No.
Because these women were missing some teethuses.
Now, were they still smoking?
I'm glad they stopped. When you come in, there's like this big ass coffee can, like the 5-pound job at the front. And clearly on the doors, it says no smoking. And next to this is this giant coffee can filled up with butts. But I was like, there is no dental plan in CK's. They were all missing teeth. And the other thing was, I guess to distract you from the lack of teethuses, they all wore $20 to $25 worth of makeup on their face at one time.
Yeah.
My wife said, "Did you see what served us our breakfast?" I didn't. I was looking at the food.
Hey, you need to be careful.
Your wife has never been a big fan of stopping at CK's.
No.
I tried to convince her during our drunken returns from whatever event we were at.
Yeah.
Let's go to CK's.
You know, you better be careful because we might have a few loyal listeners that are CK employees.
I mean, all I got to say, God bless them, everyone. They fill a niche in a crowd, and at 3 in the morning when you're drunk off your ass and you're needing some sustenance,
they're there.
I'm so glad they're there. And today, and I didn't really notice, and I'm not saying this is a commentary. I think they just choose this. It's like, teeth just aren't that important. And one of the chicks had on a Harley Davidson ball cap.
Really?
I thought, okay, well, she's keeping her hair out of the food.
Yeah.
Making a statement at the same time. But it was just, you know, it's like, well.
They probably ran out of hair nets.
I appreciate that. Not on a daily basis, but, you know, every now and then. I like going in there and saying that. So I'm not saying anything negative. It's just an observation. And, you know, I think you have to be in the South to get this kind of action. I think we have different sort of things, and I'd love to hear from our neighbors up north and to the west about some of the diner action going on there. The other thought that occurred to me is, if there were a Girls of CK calendar, I don't know how many months it would have. I'm positive it wouldn't be a whole year. And none of the ones from my neck of the woods would be in the calendar.
Well, hey, speaking
of
calendars.
Well, I wonder what the prime hours at CK, you know, if you're a waitress there or a short order cook, I mean, what hours do you want? Do you want the afternoon shift, or do you want the
late night
7
drunk?
To noon, or do you want the 3 in the morning shift? I mean, where are your best tips?
Well, I know they pack them in here early morning.
Yeah.
They lined up. There's a lot of regulars go there because, you know, if you want some good old
greasy eggs.
Some eggs and stuff, and it was like they come in and the oil is glistening on the eggs. Now, I don't know what kind it is. It cannot be good for you.
Well, but you can go to Perkins and wait an hour and a half for a freaking
meal. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. But, I mean, this is some good, greasy.
$10 breakfast.
And you know, you need that every now and then to line the arteries. You got to have it.
Yeah, but I tell you, Waffle House, I love Waffle House. Mm-hmm. They're my favorite. I love the hash brown, scattered, smothered, covered, chopped chunk, et cetera.
Yes,
man,
sir.
There's nothing like it. That's cancer food for
now,
me, man.
Getting back, you said
Mr.
the calendars.
Mr. James Spencer deserves a review of his beer.
I've been steadily drinking it.
Hang on just a minute.
So
I got to cut you off here. Speaking of calendars, I was in talking with a guy that does barbecue. They've got a team, and they actually cook for Hooters. And he was telling me that 3 of the Hooters girls out of South Haven are in the calendar.
Oh, really?
Can you imagine that?
Of they got a all national, their teeth?
A national calendar with 3 girls from South Haven, Mississippi.
Right. Well, I thought that was pretty cool. We'll have to do some clinical research
yes,
on that.
Yes, we will.
Are they wearing their opaque stockings? I can't stand those things.
Oh, yeah. But they have to for health reasons, right?
Right.
Don't know.
Okay, so then we have access to people who would possibly make a national calendar.
Yes.
We're going to have to look into this.
We're going to have to do a
road
trip.
Oh, the women in the South are very good looking.
Very beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Without
as long as they don't work at CK's.
No.
You should go to, God, I hope nobody that, I go to church.
We've alienated the CK audience.
No, I just want to say that the people in my neck of the woods out here in Colorado, not so many of them are all that good looking. I mean, they just don't seem to take.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
They're all healthy, though.
They're in good shape, exactly, but they do nothing with themselves. So.
Okay, so basically you got ugly chicks that will last forever?
Right, they're in great shape. That's the best you can say is they're in great shape.
We want some good looking ones.
You guys want me to go to Colorado in October?
Hey, well, you know, the more you drink, the better they look.
Amen,
right?
Brother.
You're not going to find too many good-looking things at the GABF, I'll tell you that.
No.
Good-looking beer, though.
Yeah, that's what you're looking for.
What
anyway.
Is it, a sausage fest?
Well, yeah. What do you think?
What
so,
do you think?
James, speaking of sausage fest, the testosterone-ridden duo of James and Steve from Basic Brewing Radio. James has sent us a couple, 3 beers here, and we started on the first one, the Vanilla Porter.
And we've been sitting on these for a long time, and everybody knows that beer should be drank fresh, yada, yada. This has aged exceptionally.
Yeah, we've had it in the fridge for a while, and it's great.
Did good.
Almost a year, 7/14.
That's right. So actually, right at coming up on a year.
Yeah.
And the vanilla porter is very nice. It's smoothed out. The flavors are all melded. Not real, just the tiniest hint of vanilla.
Very good.
It's very, very good drinking. And
I quite honestly wish that Steve Wilkes was associated with our show because, man, that guy can cook.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's like a gourmet chef.
Maybe we can get him to phone in some recipe of the week.
Well, I've made his gumbo. You guys had that.
Yeah. That was his. Okay.
That was awesome. Yeah.
I'm going to have to find some recipe. I've been looking at this. We because it was the 4th of July, and I cooked and drank and cooked and drank and so forth. And I cooked a ton of stuff, and we're still eating on it, right? And I've got these leftover things, and I started looking for the day after recipes, mm-hmm. right? I got a butt, I've got chicken, and I got sausage. So I was talking to my wife about just recipes for, okay, you know, when you have a barbecue and you cook and you overcook and you got all these things, what do you do next? Well, the chicken never lasts, but I was going to try and find some recipes to kind of do that. I have one with barbecue. And if you haven't had these types of sandwiches, you really should. There's a sandwich called a Cubano, a Cuban sandwich, and it's very simple. It's pork, cooked pork, like a pork roast that's sliced. You would put ham on top of that. You put Swiss cheese, a lot of mustard, pickles, and you put it on like a crusty bread and mash the shit out of it with the panera.
You put a brick on top of it.
Yes, right? Yes. I have done that very thing, stuck a brick on it, or a sandwich press if you have one of those. Or
otherwise known as a panini.
A panini grill.
Like a panini, yeah. And the deal is you smash it down and they all meld together and it's a great sandwich. Well, I make it with barbecue.
Cool.
And it's not so much all the crusty bits, but the meat inside. So, mm-hmm. smoked pork. Oh, man, it's fantastic.
Sounds
good.
Great.
You
had me until you said mustard, but, you know.
The mustard melds in. It's real good. It's a great thing. Yeah, I'm not a big mustard fan myself.
Yeah.
But
I'm on my way over.
Oh, man, it's good stuff. So I know we've got that in the future, and then we were talking about, okay, I made, Rick, I credited you with the, everybody's raving about the kielbasas, and I said, well, I cook them like Rick does. And the, you know, boil the shit out of them in beer forever and then finish them on the grill.
Just
chop the onions up, dumped it in there. I had three bottles of Dogfish Head Indian Brown Ale.
Ooh.
And I had some fresh kielbasas.
Nice.
In there just roiling around. And I had like three vidalia onions. And, man, they cooked and smoked for like 20-something minutes, 30 minutes. And I poured some of it off and rendered it down a little and washed them around and finished them on the grill. It was great.
Mm.
Oh, man. Everybody's like, you know, the old neighbors over here were over yesterday. We had a neighborhood pool party.
Mm-hmm.
First time ever. And very nice, very well. Of course, you were gone.
Jackson. Yeah.
And it came out good. Really good. And I thought, man, you know, bratwurst on the grill, you can be just drunk off your ass.
Oh, yeah.
And cook you a bratwurst.
I tell you, a good thing to do with that bratwurst, just chop it up in little bite-sized chunks and throw it on the plate and just pass it around.
Oh, yeah. That's what
we're doing. Kielbasa and bratwurst are different things. Which did you have, both?
No, the bratwurst. Did I say kielbasa?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did it.
That was James Spencer's Vanilla Porter speaking.
Oh, it's so good. I love this porter. It's so good.
Which, you know what? We need to go ahead and crack his second one.
Yes,
Mike's slowing up on me, man.
Waiting on the next one.
So, he's been drinking since 5:30 this morning, though.
That's right. He started really early. So the next one, we're going to do the blonde or brunette?
Yeah, let's do the Belgian blonde or
brunette.
Okay,
the one that says BB.
BB? If you guys know James Spencer, he's pretty straight-laced, so his jokes are a little more subtle. He goes, I've got a Belgian brunette in my closet. But
wow, that's incredible. Oh, man, this is the happiest day of my life.
Hard time liberating him from the six-pack.
Yeah, what could go wrong with Family Guy? So, all right, so I got the Belgian. So we're going back. We had Craig's Borp, and we had the Porter, and we had James Vanilla Porter. And now we're reeling it all the way back to a light beer.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the Belgian. Oh, my God.
Give me a rinse.
I know.
Let's call it a dirty blonde.
A dirty blonde. You're a dirty, dirty girl. Oh, man, this thing pours a head and a half.
Pretty, too.
I know. I'm trying to get a head going on yours. With these larger glasses, these wide glasses, and actually, Mike, I think you have the better glass to drink out of. I've got pint glass. Mike's using the Chimay glass, and I think because of the Belgian notes within this one, you want something that lets it open up,
mm-hmm.
get some of the spices out. And
yeah,
all
it
that.
Smells good.
Yeah.
Like
oh,
it.
Man. It's got some spice notes, and it's a pretty...
Oh,
look at that.
Yeah.
Look how clean
nice.
That is. Look how clean. It's kind yep. of like a mid-caramel butterscotch color. Mike has some chunkage at the bottom.
I got the vitamins in mine.
Yeah, you got the protein.
Okay. I've got a good two-finger head, and it's very fine bubbles, mm-hmm. pillowy, white.
Yep.
Fine.
Alternating size bubbles in mine. And
spiciness.
Now, what are you drinking? Are you using a pint glass?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And see, Mike's got the Chimay one, so his is opened up a little bit, and the head doesn't get that aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Mike, by the way, I was looking at the ingredients to your recipe. You did not brew a Belgian wit today. You just did a Belgian ale.
What?
I don't know if you know that. The ingredients you sent me an email?
No, that was a different... that's my next beer I'm going to do.
Oh, okay.
I want you to run.
I was going, that's not a wit.
I want you to run that through your calculator and let me know if I need to add or subtract or whatever.
All right, so all you're right, making a Belgian wit
uh-huh.
because it's hot?
Well, just I like that White Rascal, man.
He likes
I
the White Rascal.
Avery, yeah, okay. So,
the
so
Hoo
this,
Garden.
Yeah. The Hoo Garden, the Avery White Rascal, all of these kind of summery beers with a little refreshing. The mm-hmm. little notes to it.
Yep.
Very nice.
A little coriander, a little...
Bitter food. Orange.
Yeah.
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 Bitter orange peel.
And then, that's great during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we've had... You know, we haven't had any triple digit days yet.
No.
It's been a mild been summer so far. Yeah, getting into the 90s.
Yeah, mid-90s.
But not yet. And Rick, I mean, I don't know if you'll even see any out where you are, right?
Yeah, no, but I get... sweaty when it's like 85, you know?
A little verklempt.
Yeah.
All right, so the Belgian brunette blonde, what are we thinking
beautiful.
About this?
I love it.
Very I like nice. It. Yeah.
The vanilla porter was excellent. This is just fantastic.
It's a easy drinking, light.
Mm. Yeah, the Belgian spices are coming out in this thing. And
this would be good about...
Really good.
This would be good about 7:30. 8 o'clock, out at the pool.
Sure.
In the morning?
No, at night. Yeah.
No, we
or
want that,
in the morning.
We want the vanilla porter for in the morning. That goes good with the coffee.
You're doing your laps and
yeah.
get out. And
I'd pour that vanilla porter right into my coffee.
That's right.
All right, guys, it's my turn to play Debbie Downer again. So this came across a newswire, and I found it fascinating that it's buried at the very A6 section of our paper today. AP exclusive, U.S. removes uranium from Iraq. The last major remnant of Saddam Hussein's nuclear program, a huge stockpile of concentrated natural uranium, reached a Canadian port Saturday to complete a secret U.S. operation that included a two-week airlift from Baghdad and a ship voyage crossing two oceans. 550 metric tons of yellow cake.
Yellow cake?
Yellow cake uranium.
That's one big... Oh, uranium. Okay, I thought
Duncan,
this...
That Duncan Hines bitch has been busy.
Huh? I know, because that's a big old birthday there. 550 pounds of yellow cake.
Yeah, well, you know, you have some people saying that the rush and the rash for war, or the rush for war, et cetera, was unfounded. And
okay.
Oh, let's see. We've had enough of a misguided war in Iraq that never should have been fought, a war that needs to end, yada, yada. Well, yeah. Guess what?
So now it turns out.
There was a top secret 55 metric tons of yellow cake.
That's an ass load of yellow cake uranium.
And what's pissing me off, this story is freaking buried. It's
well,
buried.
But it's,
page
it's on Fox.
Of the paper.
It's on, but it's on Fox, too, right?
Well, I don't know. This is Associated Press.
Right, so do you think this is the Democratic liberal media keeping the man down?
Holding the brothers down.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. But all I've heard for 5 years is that there was no weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
I think...
It does kind
of metric tons of uranium yellow cake is cause for concern.
It does kind of throw a different sort of light on
you know,
it.
And there were convoys of trucks going to Syria before the invasion. I don't know if you guys know that, but who knows what the hell was on those trucks.
Yeah.
Well, so it's one of those things that with the partisan politics aside, you have to look at the implications. It's a shitload of uranium mm-hmm. that could have gotten into the wrong hands, and it's not. And
yeah,
so,
here's a guy on a website.
Here's my question.
Okay.
Is the media dutiful lapdogs that just regurgitate whatever they're given by whoever gives it to them, or do they have an agenda?
Well, I think it depends on the media.
Well, I think they mainly have an agenda because most of your media people are liberal coming out of college.
They are.
They go into the liberal colleges and they get their learning there, their education there. And then they come out as a liberal, educated journalist.
But not
they call
all.
Themselves the fifth column of politics.
Yeah, okay, but not all. I mean, they should theoretically report the news and not take sides, right?
Well, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to do, though.
Of course,
you know
it
that.
Is.
I mean, even the
you're
Fox,
human,
even
right?
Fox is biased toward mm-hmm. Republican, and you know that. I mean, even
well,
though
they
I'm,
would say that Fox was the definition of being biased, even though I think they're fair and balanced.
Yep.
Well, I don't know about
fair and balanced.
I mean, they have their that was a nice little, what do you call that? Subliminal message? Fair and balanced.
Yeah.
The reason I say that they're fair and balanced is because I've got to listen to some dumb shit after I listen to somebody I agree with.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the balance?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, like anything else, you're going to take a side, no matter what it is, right? Mm-hmm. So, like the uranium and five, like you just said, it's right there. It's documented, and you're saying the media is burying it.
It is page A6.
Okay, yeah. I hear you, but it's there, and people will hear about it and say, "Oh, look!" And of course, in this politically charged climate that we have this year, they're going to start addressing it.
You know, Rick, you said something really good. This website I'm on right now. There's a guy that says, who cares? As far as the USA was concerned, Saddam Hussein was a zero, and he could have had enough yellow cake to fill yellow cake uranium to fill Lake Superior, and he would still be a zero. But what you said a while ago was falling into other people's hands that can harm this country.
Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about the most is not really what Iraq was going to do with this stuff, but Iran and
right. Well, you always hear that Iraq had nothing to do with Al Qaeda, and then you hear stories about Al Qaeda in Iraq. Well, guess what? Al Qaeda went to where the Americans were to fight the war,
right?
Which I believe was the plan altogether. I mean, we want to fight them over there versus fighting them here, where our own property gets destroyed. I just get tired of all the hypocrisy. You know.
Well, but that's the world that we live in, and the media is the media, and they will continue to spin things. I remember way back when, War of the Worlds, Orson Welles broadcasting the mass panic hysteria, people running around, you know, thinking the damn Martians had landed. That's the power of the media. So, right or wrong, it's what we got. But although these days, because of the wide availability of sources to get your media, I think it's getting a little less. You've got alternate sources, right? And so what might have been on page A6 might be something that you see and go, hey, look at this. And then it spreads, right?
Should we talk about the man behind the golden microphone?
Yeah.
The EIB?
Your big, your boy there, he's a Missouri boy.
Yeah, but I haven't listened to him in about 4 years.
Me neither. Hell, I thought
really
he died.
I can't really say that I'm a huge fan, although I did enjoy him when I did listen.
I'm going to his daddy and granddaddy hometown next week, Cape Girardeau, Missouri, exotic Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and they begat Rush Limbaugh the first and the second and the third and the whatever Rush Limbaugh Jr. is, and he just got him a payday, didn't he?
He got himself a payday, $400 million.
Oh, shit. Now, is that after taxes or before?
That's before taxes.
Okay, well,
sure.
That'll work out to about $20,000 a year. Once you get the FICA,
you are so right.
The
I was
FICA,
say $200 million, but
the FICA, the FUTA, all that. Man. You know, him and dude at McDonald's make about the same thing.
And you know what's so wild? It only goes through 2016.
Well, somebody's got to pay for some government cheeses, you know.
Well, he's got a lot of medication he has to take. He needs
the
money.
Milks.
And guess what else this thing has in it? It has a $100 million signing bonus. So when he inks his name on the contract, he gets a $100 million check.
Well, who are the dumb
shits?
For
a man who makes his living on a microphone,
yeah,
taking OxyContin, which destroys your hearing, was a really stupid thing to do.
I got some OxyContin upstairs.
Let's go take it.
I'm thinking we need to.
Maybe we can get us a $400 million deal.
We need us some money.
Man. I didn't know OxyContin destroys your hearing.
No, I never heard that either. Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's how he lost his hearing.
I thought that was genetics.
Had the, what do they call them, ocular implants? I forget what to call them. But
yeah.
Oral?
They're the...
Ocular would be your eyes.
Well, they're little implants that they
oral.
Put behind the... I know, it sounds like ocular.
Oral. Not oral. Oral.
Well, we need to do our
Russell
Ball research,
thing.
But the OxyContin is actually what destroyed his hearing.
Research? Yeah. Damn it, we're liberal media. We don't need facts.
Damn
we'll
right.
We make this shit up as we go along.
We make it up as we go along. President Bush was not in the National Guard.
Nor did he inhale. Wait, that was right. A different guy.
Yeah. And it wasn't a blue dress. It was a red dress.
All right.
War in 18 months.
All right. Well, we got to wind up section two and get into our more esoteric class culture and other things of section three.
How about some music?
I got some music here. Now, this last guy, Luther Guitar Jr. Johnson, he had a band like you would not believe. Backing him up. These some guys, they all play with Muddy Waters way back. Mm. Pine Top Perkins, your boy, playing
like
on piano. Another guy is Bob Margolin, who played on many records and in The Last Waltz when they shoot Muddy Waters. He's there in frame the entire time. Bob Margolin.
Cochlear implant.
Cochlear. It's an oral device.
All right, back to the music intro.
Okay, so Bob Margolin, this is oddly enough a drinking song called Slam 'Em Down.
I get kind of thirsty and I go to town and I slam them down. I slam them down. I know just what I'm doing when I slam them down. What happened to you, man?
Well, I went out last night with some of my friends. We drank some whiskey, watched it down with gin, and I was slamming them down. Yeah, slamming them down. Well, you know what I'm doing, boy, when I'm slamming them down.
Have not read this, right?
We're having our right.
Oh
no one. We're having our creative differences with the our big foamy head interpretive dance theater. Yet another twofer.
This one's going to struggle.
This is going to be. It's going to be difficult. And Rick has taken it upon himself to take a joke that was, and it's not really a joke. It's like real life episode that's so just bizarre is funny as
so
hell.
So we're just reporting news like Dan Rather.
That's what it is. And we're going to interpret it in our best redneck Australian accent. What could go wrong? But before we do that, so to get primed for this, we're swilling down some lovely Amarillo ale.
The third and final beer from
the third and final, yeah. And I did a little lookup. We've had this before. And I recall this exactly. It was February 2006, upstairs in one of the rooms at Rick's old house. And we dialed in to James Spencer and chatted him up. I think that was the first time ever. And we enjoyed our Amarillo ale. And, man, we could not shut up about how good it was. And you know what show that was? I looked it up, Rick. That was show 28.
Wow.
Wow.
And this is 115. So that's a ways back.
That was just when I was a gleam in y'all's eye.
I love this. You guys there?
Yeah, Mike's amusing himself.
Sounds like he's losing a lung there.
Rick, that was just when I was a gleam in y'all's eye.
That's right.
Okay, I love this beer so much, I'm going to brew it for the World Brewers Forum, which is coming up, the Great American Beer Festival, and I think that they've secured Greg Cook from
Stone
Brewing Company as the premier speaker. So that's Thursday night at the Great American Beer Festival. Croc, the Keg Ran Out Club, is sponsoring the event, and they have been for years, and it's a charitable event, so... please sign up and go to that if you are going to the Great American Beer Festival. It's on Thursday night.
This is a great beer. And, you know, when we tried this, over 2 years ago, the Amarillo hops are kind of new coming onto the scene. And they've got that nice bite and they linger. But they linger in a good way. So, like, Mike, you're drinking this. This beer has cellared for a right out a year, but it's got like that bite, not too hard while you're drinking it, but it just kind of got a little aftertaste, like a good cigar
or something like that. It's got a really good clean finish. It doesn't linger. The hops don't pound you and linger.
But it's got that little bit of aftertaste in that, which I
like. Very good fruit.
Yeah.
Characteristic to it.
Very nice. And it's a good hop and very good taste to it. And so James has done, of course, as usual, fantastic job.
All three of his beers tonight.
Oh, I know. I mean, considering
the Amarillo Porter and the Amarillo Ale and the
We talked about how we had to do a disclaimer about these beers have been set up for over a year.
Yeah,
and they could have gone really bad, but they didn't.
You know, the good I noticed on the cap we had 714. One was 715.
Right, he brewed about a year ago.
That's a year ago. I mean, that's awesome.
And then also Craig Bellinger, we have to give him props again.
Yeah.
And craftbeerlocator.com.
Yeah, and I hope that takes off for him. Okay.
And that's probably the end of our being sober enough to promote other people's works.
Okay, and so on to our next thing. And for our anniversary, of course, it wouldn't be an anniversary without us attempting to just do some theatrical productions. And this one...
This
is going to get... And we're out of the closet, thespians. We're not hiding this. This is going to go so bad. So we talked about the script that Rick took, and took this real-life report, which turned into a joke, and Rick has turned into a script. So
screenplay by dude.
Right, screenplay by dude. So without further ado... Big Femi Head Interpretive Dance Theaters presents The Australian Bricklayer.
The scene is the Australian equivalent of the Workers' Compensation Board, a government official with green paint in an office, a government office with green paint and old furniture. An official paper-pushing government employee complete with greasy hair and thick glasses is reviewing a form. Across from the official paper-pushing government employee is an Aussie bricklayer, looking much worse for the wear.
I see you're here to apply for workers' compensation. We reviewed your form and find Block 3 of the accident report found to be lacking sufficient detail.
Poor planning is the cause of my accident.
Yes, indeed you did. I can see that. Can you elaborate on this poor planning, as it were?
Oi, says the spirit. Well, indeed. You see, I'm a bricklayer by trade. On the day of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a new six-story building.
The official paper-pushing government employee busily writes some notes.
Yes, please continue.
Well, when I completed my work, I found that I had some bricks left over, which, when we laid later, were found to be in excess of 500 pounds.
That is poor planning indeed, but it doesn't explain your injuries.
Right. Okay. Rather than carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to lower them in a barrel by using a pulley, which was attached to the side of the building on the sixth floor. So, securing the rope.
What'd you do again?
As I was saying, securing the rope at ground, I went up to the roof, swung the barrel out, and loaded the bricks into it. Then I went down, untied the rope, holding it lightly to ensure a slow descent of the bricks.
Yes, indeed. I see in block 11 you put your weight at 135 pounds.
Right. Imagine my surprise at being jerked off the ground so suddenly. I lost my presence of mind and I forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded at a rapid rate up the side of the building.
Oh, dear. That must have been a sight to see.
Crikey, right. In the vicinity of the third floor, I met the barrel, which was now proceeding downward at an equally impressive speed. This explains my fractured skull, minor abrasions, and the broken collarbone.
I see, as you listed in Section 3 of the accident report form.
Yes. Load only slightly. I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until the fingers of my right hand were two knuckles deep into the pulley.
That has got to hurt.
Oh my God, you have no idea. Fortunately, by this time, I'd regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of beginning to experience what I would say is mind-numbing pain.
That explains the bandages on your hand and your poor writing on the form.
Yes, that's right. It's a little twisted around. But at approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Now, devoid of the weight of the bricks, that barrel that weighed now only approximately 50 pounds, I refer to you again to my weight.
Yes, I see. 135 pounds is listed in block 11.
Yes, exactly. So as you imagine, we're getting rapid descent down the side of the building, no longer being supported by the weight of the bricks. In the vicinity of the third floor, I met the barrel coming up. This accounts for the two fractured ankles, broken teeth, and several lacerations of my legs and lower body.
No, seriously, that has got to hurt.
Well, and here my luck began to change just slightly. The encounter with the barrel seemed to slow me enough to lessen my injuries where I fell into the pile of the aforementioned bricks, and fortunately only three vertebrae were cracked.
Yes, I see, that explains your back. My, that sounds horrendous.
Yeah, I wish that were the end. I'm sorry to report, however, that as I lay there in the pile of bricks, gazing up, thanking God for the bricks breaking my fall, in pain, unable to move, I again lost my composure and presence of mind, and fortunately let go of the rope. And as I lay there watching the empty barrel begin its journey back down onto me, this explains the two broken legs.
The government official stops writing at this point. Looks at the poor fellow across the table and says...
Right then. We'll just go ahead and mark this down as poor planning, shall we?
And we all take a bow.
Theater. All right, you guys, you're Irish-Australian.
Oh, my God, Irish-British-Australian. I believe there was some Polynesian in there.
Hell, I'm just glad it's over.
You were channeling the Irish.
I was just like... And the thing is, I know all these Australian guys, I'm thinking, how do they sound? And I can't for the life of me remember.
I just want to say, oi. Oi, oi, oi.
Oi, oi, oi. Have you done my, like, poor-ass redneck British accent? Our apologies to all the listeners. Okay, Rick.
Yes, because there's nothing wrong with being Scottish. There's nothing wrong with being...
Roman, a Wagga glass and aluminum...
What?
I don't know what Pete. It's based on a true story by Kevin Robin.
Yeah, it is.
Waga
it's all
Glass
true.
Glass and Aluminum Limited out of Wagga Wagga NSW, whatever that is.
Yeah. That's one of those Darwin's Law where that guy needed to be put out of his misery before he bred again.
You know, it's kind of like the guy that ties himself off. He's up on the roof painting, and he ties himself off to the bumper of the car. And then the wife comes out and goes, in, gets in the car and goes to the...
Drives off the, and snatches his ass up. That's it.
Well, hey, speaking of class and culture, how about a little beer haiku?
A twofer?
A
yeah.
twofer. All right. Go for it.
All right. Big Foamy Head Interpretive Dance Theater presents Beer Haiku from BeerHaikuDaily.com, July 5th. I am worth it. To mark his triumph, he poured his favorite beer into a clean glass. Written by Captain Hops. Beer Haiku. Class
yeah, there he is.
Very good. Very well, good. Wow. Encore, encore.
And you know what we didn't make, though, being asked backwards, apparently?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't mention what this was in reference to. There has been in there are victories and there are victories in the United States. We've seen many, many types of victories. There's been the great wars, World War One, World War Two, where we were basically just saving the world because of the United States, and something akin with, I would say, that type of victory has occurred recently.
How about the victories that France has had? Can you list those?
That would be a round number. But but the victories I'm talking about, this has been a recent conquest. This is, we've had recently Tiger Woods playing on broken limbs. Mm-hmm. We've had all kinds of heroics in the sporting world. But this victory, I think, surpasses those. And we need to
is
give
it
a shout out.
Is it fair than Kerry...
It's
Walsh
better than
all my.
It's right, just kind of there with
maybe just under it,
right with beach volleyball. But America has reclaimed the hot dog eating champion.
Woo-hoo!
Yes! Yes!
Yay!
Yes! That's woo-hoo! Right. The
USA.
Evil Kobayashi.
USA. USA.
That's right. We have vanquished.
Are
the
you saying
Asian
Hesse?
Color.
You go Hesse.
Go SA. I forget dude's name already. I think like Chester or Austin or no, not the Japanese guy was like Kobayashi, something like that. The little bitty guy, and one of our own has vanquished him. And this guy not only can scarf down some hot dogs like nobody's business, he eats everything else too. He's one with jalapeno poppers, he's one with chicken wings, he's one with all kinds of things. So we once again proved our expertise at the mass food consumption.
Joey Chestnut.
Bloody
Joey
me.
Chestnut. There he is, our boy Joey. Thank you, Mike, for once again validating our facts.
And do you know how many do you know how many hot dogs he ate?
I know it was a tiebreaker.
Yep.
Okay.
I think they tied at 59.
Yep.
And then they ended up 64.
Okay, so it was a five-dog yeah. showdown.
Yeah, it's all based on time.
Right.
You get so much time to eat yeah. so many dogs.
And you know what I read?
Yeah.
They found out that according to the International Hot Dog Eating Federation, they had apparently been given 2 minutes extra. So they rolled it back this year from a 12-minute to a 10-minute. Competition.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that put a lot of pressure because, you know, you can pull ahead in those last 2 minutes if you pace yourselves and then you like really go for the gorge on
yeah.
the last 2 minutes. So our boy Joey, he just put it pedal to the metal and sucked him yeah. down some hot dogs, tied, and then in a sudden death overtime, he snarfed down five hot dogs faster than our Asian friend. Who,
now, let's hope this is a prelude to the Olympics in Beijing and
yeah.
That's right.
August 8th, 2008.
I was watching a little of that video on the hot dog deal, and when the Japanese guy was down to like the 58th hot dog, he was trying to shove it in his mouth, and it was trying to come back up. He
yeah.
was kind of spewing a little
bit. Well, now, you know what his strategy was? The Asian guy, and I don't know what Joey Chestnut did, but I know the Asian dude's strategy has been, is it Kobayashi? I think it is.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying, until somebody tells me otherwise. But his yeah. strategy was suck down the wieners first. I'll let you digest that for me. And then he'll eat your buns. I
yeah.
mean, his buns.
His buns.
And, by sucking them in water and stuff.
Yeah,
he was doing a mixture of each.
Yeah,
and then toward the end, they were both just dunking the whole hot dog and bun in water and slamming it in their mouth. I mean,
there you go.
Two or three at a time, just pushing them in, shoving with two hands. Unbelievable.
Them in.
I mean, you're looking at 64 hot dogs.
That's a ass load of hot dogs.
59 hot dogs apiece at the end of the 10-minute regulations.
We're going to have to try that.
I mean, that
just
is a lot.
Just to see, you know, get some people and say, we're going to have a wiener-eating contest.
You know what's wild? Rush Limbaugh makes $400 million. These guys only got 10,000.
That's right.
Well, guys, lest we forget, we have a third beer.
That's right. A third beer?
Holy cow.
A beer for the third
segment. Two dogs, but...
Well, my glass is empty.
My mouth is different. Okay, so we have empty glasses. We have saved a special beer for the end, and this is one that Rick sent us. If you wouldn't mind, Mike, but reaching to the...
Oh, gee, if I had
beer orator.
Oh, Dad, come on.
All right, so we've got a special beer, and this is out of Colorado, right down the road from where Rick is, the Avery 15. It's got a beautiful gold foil label, got the number 15 on it. It's their anniversary for the 15 years, I suppose. They've been in business.
All right.
And we're reduced to using the Family Guy beer opener. And Rick's been warning us. He says this thing is eat up with Brettanomyces. So the 15, it says, a refreshingly tart, fruity, funky farmhouse ale brewed with black something figs. Oh, figs. Some flowers and white pepper fermented with a bunch of Brettanomyces. So.
Wonder what type of glassware we need.
Well, actually, I think you've got the better one.
You think
one.
This will be the one? Want me to get you one?
Yeah, would you mind? I like the Chimay glass. I think this is one we're going to drink in the Chimay glasses, our Belgian beer glasses, because the Brettanomyces, going to give us a lot of tart flavors. Look how
clear pretty
this thing pours.
Pretty.
It's a very light beer. Oh, pours a nice head.
Oh, man, pretty beer.
So we're gonna enjoy some of this, and that's really effervescent. The color, I guess,
smell that, we.
It's a light kind of dark butter color.
Man,
you can smell the
you can twang, smell the action going
the
on
twang
in there.
Coming on.
I know that girl,
and it's got it's got a. Poured about a one-finger head. It's dissipating some white. It's very fine bubbles.
Did you get some on your finger?
Yeah, a little on it.
Cool.
Get some on you. But it's a pretty beer. It's got a little orange tint to it. And
whoa!
Mike made the face.
Whoa, man!
So what's
that's
your...
That's a booger bear.
It's got a little tart to it.
Woo!
Okay. And it is, Rick said, this is a palate killer.
It is.
I'm glad I'm at home because I was just in my fridge looking for this thing, and it was actually sitting next to me on the table. Have we had a beer or two?
Yeah. I think we had seven. Six.
What's the alcohol on this boy? 7.6? Yeah, 7.68. Yeah.
And we didn't have any notes on James Spencer's beer. We appreciate them nonetheless. We had no ABV. We had no nothing.
They were very good, all of them.
Excellent. And so this is real. This is actually our first commercial beer, right?
True.
Okay. And so this has got, and I've got a little bit of a sinus thing, so I'm not getting it. Mike's getting the full impact, and of course, it about knocked him on the floor.
Man, it did.
It's got some twang, and this thing's like, I'm watching as you hold it up to light to drink it, it's got like this orange glow. Not a toxic one, but a pretty orange glow that's very clear.
Well, I mean, it's about as sour as you can get. I mean,
I love
this. Pure Brettanomyces.
I love the Brettanomyces.
And why do we want to drink this?
Oh, this is a special type of beer.
It's
our anniversary beer. 15 for Avery, 3 for us, early 12 ahead. So We'll catch up.
They're only 12 ahead. I love that. We can catch up.
You can do it.
We can catch up.
Now, this is very tasty.
Carrie Ann, go toward the light. Carrie Ann, go toward the light.
Carrie Ann or Misty May.
Donuts.
Anything a donut. It's a round hole, but it's not a donut. Okay, so this says it's 1.064 OG.
OG? Get down with the OG.
7.68% by volume. Yeah, they're that precise.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Now, Avery cranks out some really good beverages.
Whoa.
I had a microphone alcohol abuse. Almost. I saved it, Rick. It could have been alcohol abuse, but it wasn't. So,
whew, man.
I know Adam picks these. He picks the anniversary beers.
Well, yeah, I thought he picked all of them. Says
I
brewery.
Think he does, yeah.
Adam Avery. It's very good. Oh, my God. This is very tasty. I'm loving on this.
Tasty's not the word I'm coming.
What are you? Is it a little too twangy for you?
Yeah, it is. It really is. I mean, and, I'm the kind of guy, I'm going to tell you what I think.
Well, that's, you know.
And I'm drinking it, but it's just not my favorite.
It's the different beer styles, right?
We're not going to question your manliness.
No.
Yeah.
You can be a chick if you want to.
Yeah. Well, okay. You know, hey, man, I can drink some.
They got Viagra and Cialis for guys like you.
No, this is one of those things. It really is. When you get into these Brett beers, I mean, you are getting into a genre. Because, okay, Mike, it's like you were talking about earlier. You took your three-hearted ale, which I was just loving on. There's the empty growler as proof.
I was loving
on that beer. And you took it down to some of our local super hophead beer guys, Mike Lee and Phil.
Yeah, Phil Kane.
Phil Kane. And you said, here, what do you think about this? And they were just kind of like, well, okay, it's pretty good.
Yeah, they liked it, but they could taste something. Phil said that it was something in there that he couldn't quite get.
So I think it gets into palate in the direction that your palate goes.
Right.
Right? Some people like Mexican food. Some people cannot eat spicy food. And unless you exercise your palate, you never know where it's going to go. So that's where we get people who...
You know, I'm the kind of guy that when I walk to the refrigerator to get my gallon of milk to pour on my cereal, I open up the top and I always smell it.
Right.
And that's what that smells like to me.
Yeah,
the milk has gone bad.
Well, that's the bread of mine. So
I agree.
It's supposed to be the sour.
So my brain for years... I'm 48 years old. For 48 years, or let's say for 40 years... I've been smelling milk and going, ooh, that bitch gone bad.
Yeah. Don't drink it. Beware their light chunks.
So it's a learning. I'm having a learning curve with this beer. Like I said, I can drink it, but it's definitely a learning curve.
Well, I'm getting sweet and spice notes off of it.
See, I'm kind of screwed because I've got this pool water nose that's...
Why do you have the haze and I don't?
Because I poured the last of the bottle. I didn't, but I went back and hit it again. I'm way ahead. Now I'm loving on this beer, but I will to your point. I got a little bit of congestion from being in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm not getting the full bore effect, but man, I'm loving it right now. And of course, I like the Bretts. I like the sour.
That's
I
cool.
remember Rick. You remember way back when we had that new Glarus. I forgot which one it was, but that was like an unplugged series, and that was kind of our first really super sour beer on the show, and we were both going like, oh, my God. I mean, it was just like...
Sporting the Woody, huh?
Oh, it was just like, what is this? It's like we've never had beer before.
It was almost like watching women's volleyball.
Almost, but not quite.
Not that good. Hey, I'll tell you guys, if you have a second, I've been having a little bit of a debate with the guys on the beerreport.com, and some of them really like the Duchess de Bourgogne.
Whatever. Yeah.
The Duchess of Skank.
I know.
And to me, it's just a sweet and sour sauce filtered through dirty
Okay. All right. Now
I'm not digging that.
Okay. I had two in my refrigerator, and I went through them. They weren't show beers. They were ones I picked up for personal consumption. It's one of those that I think the beer, the first time I ever had it was in San Francisco in this really nice setting and this really nice beer bar, and it seemed a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
When I had it in my basement, it wasn't quite as good, right? So, I think depending on your taste, and especially when you start getting into the really tartar sour beers,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get into a lot of, I won't say disputes, but perception mm-hmm. of what's good and what's not. Now, Mike, you know, you like a beer that will just rip your face off with the hops. You want a hop yeah. wallop, just smack you right in the face. And I love that, too.
And I like the porters. I like the stouts.
Okay.
I like them all.
This guy, I like
them
richness all. Of character yeah. and the depth.
It's
and
this
the
damn
little...
sour, ruined taste that
so
I
So sour's yeah. not your thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know if it ever will be. It might be. I mean, after a few of these, drinking a few, I might acquire. You know, beer is kind of like an acquired taste like pussy. So.
You have to try
like
them
pussy.
All?
There goes our explicit warning.
No, we can say that.
We're talking about kittens.
We're talking about cats.
No, we're not.
But, yeah, because I barbecue cats all the time.
You put your sauce on them, dude.
But anyway, what I was getting at is I might, after a few of these, acquire a little taste. Now, it's going to be a struggle because this is a chore. To drink.
Okay, it is for you, but yeah. And it's one of those things. Like some people like sweet tarts, some people like chocolate covered peanuts.
Yeah,
and you know,
sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
There you go. So this is one of the ones that it's not good, bad, or otherwise. It's what you like, right?
No, it's bad,
and that's the whole thing that I'd bring it all back home after 3 years. We've had an awful lot of beers.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a lot of good beers, and we've had some that suck.
Yeah.
We've had some that were so bad, we said, we're not even putting this damn show out.
Yeah.
That explains some of the numbering in the shows. Yeah. We've had some that were so bad.
Yeah, there's a show that just won't get published.
Yeah.
The beer was so bad. And we really don't want to diss the brewery.
Right.
We even had shows that
I'll say they were in Southern Colorado. Though.
The breweries wouldn't even give us a call back.
No, nah, yeah.
And they wouldn't answer the phone.
Okay, we still like Green Flash.
I'm just funning Green
You're
Flash. We
back.
Love you. I like every single one of your beers I've ever had.
Now
they're
we
great.
We've had over the last 3 years we've had an awful lot of really interesting beers, a lot of interesting people,
mm-hmm.
a lot of really interesting things that we have done,
mm-hmm.
and. Who knows what's going to happen, right?
Right?
Moving ahead. It's and the nice thing, though, about it, though, and this is what we started the show off, and I want to just kind of bring it all the way back, is the beer community, the craft beer community, at least in the podcast world, has grown.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a definite, like, a kinship, a comradeship. I've been privileged enough to go and meet and see some of these people, and believe me, many of them have faces for radio, but they're good people nonetheless. I mean, Phil's a handsome guy. I don't know why the hell he ain't on the Food Network, but I'd do him. But, you know, other than Phil, I mean.
Oh, that was an admission.
I'm kidding.
You see, I was going to close with my respect for the brewers that contributed to the show. I
mean, absolutely.
Phil,
and the brewers.
Craig Bellinger, we got James Spencer. And Adam Avery. I mean,
I
consider them all similar. Adam, obviously, is the most financially prosperous, but we're all brewers, including Mike,
right.
me, and yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And you know as well as I do that the Sam Calagiones and the Adam Averys and the Greg Cooks, all of them will stop what they're doing to talk to Joe Backyard Brewer and spend time, not bullshit. You know, past thing, mm-hmm. they will sit and talk to you about it. And that's what really strikes me as with Crapper is they're all successful. They all, every single one of them to a person, does it for the love of a good beer.
You know what makes me feel better about this beer is that there's a guy that owns a big brewery out there, or a big craft brewery.
It's not
brewery.
That big. It's big, small, actually.
Well, concerning a craft brewer.
It's got a national distribution.
Right. I mean, I found it in Fayetteville, Arkansas the other day.
And if you can make it in Fayetteville, you can make
it anywhere. But he actually he tasted this and picked it as its 15th anniversary beer. I mean, that says a lot about this beer right here. That's why I'm really working to drink it and taste it and enjoy it.
Because, you know, this guy felt it was good enough.
Yeah, and even though I'm smelling it and I'm thinking it's spoiled milk, but it's not.
It may not be for you, but that doesn't mean that the next one he picks is a face ripper that you'll just ooh and ah and have to smoke a cigarette after you drink it.
Amen, brother.
Okay, so, I mean, you know, here it is. Let's just wind it up. We've had three really good years of really good beers. And that's what Big Foamy Head's all about. We're going to go cook us some hamburgers now.
Amen. I'm set to go for another year.
All right. I think we should wait. One more year just to see how.
And you know what's wild? After, and we're going to wake up and we're going to go, holy shit, it's another year. You know, and how many beers will we have sampled or resampled between now and then?
Well, you know, and when people come up and ask me, they say, what's your favorite beer? And my answer is always the same. The next one.
The next one.
All right, well, let's wind it up. We got our special tribute, our Joe Bonamassa tribute to the dearly departed Bozo. Blues for Bozo. We're going to lead out with this. We'll see you next time.
Drive safe.
Check, please.
There's my pal, Joe Bonamassa. Oh, let me hear the blues, Joe.
Yeah, why you cry now, Bozo? Why do you sing the blues? Yeah, why you cry now, Bozo? Why do you sing the blues? Oh, your shoes should be size 83. They brought you a pair of 82.
Oh, my big feet hurt.
Yeah, why you weeping, Bozo? Why's your smile out of whack? Yeah, why you weeping, Bozo? Why's your smile out of whack? Oh, they brought you the hair of a duck. They should have brought you the hair of a yak.
I'm having a bad hair day.
Oh.
Joe, what you playing? That's how I'm feeling.
Now cheer up, Bozo. Who the clown?
You the clown.
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 Bozo the clown.
It's Eddie Bozo.
Who is Bozo the clown?
You is Bozo the clown.
Me, Bozo?
You, Bozo.
Me, Bozo?
You, Bozo.
Me,
you,
me, Bozo,
you, Bozo.
Hey,
hey, Bozo.
Well, now Bozo got his yak hair. He got a size 83 shoes.
Don't I shine?
Yeah, now Bozo got his yak hair. He got a size 83 shoes.
Bozo, you're looking good.
So now Bozo the Clown no longer has the blues.
Oh, my feet feel so good. And look at my hair. Yak, yak, yak. Yeah, Bozo knows.
This is a big...